It is good to see everyone this morning on this September 26, 2021, and we're going to be in Matthew 24 again today. We're going to focus on one verse, verse 5, and then probably verse 11, as we are examining our culture, the days in which we live, and what Jesus says about them. And again, He's speaking about the 7 years of tribulation that will occur following the rapture of the church, but I believe these five signs of the impending judgment of God, we're seeing forerunners or precursors to them. So I'm going to read that in a moment. I want to thank all the folks that listen to us on the website that have shared their love and their texts with me as Dad went home to be with Jesus this past Wednesday, and we'll be traveling to Charleston next week for his service in his hometown and in my hometown and Patty's hometown and Daniel's hometown of Charleston, South Carolina. So we will appreciate your prayers as well as the prayers of our church family. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, Jesus says this, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And they shall deceive many." And in verse 11, he says, "Many false prophets shall rise, and they shall deceive many." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I thank you for the strength that you always provide us. And Lord Jesus, we praise your holy name. And as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, weekly sin, as I confess, as Isaiah says, this filth unto you, specifically, individually, and out loud. And Father, I want to thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin as we confess. We're called to be faithful and just in our confession, as you have promised to be faithful and just in your cleansing and forgiveness. And Father, I want to thank you that the Holy Spirit can change us. And Father, those areas of carnality in my life, I am not going to give up. I'm not going to give up trying to allow you to mortify them, crucify them, as Paul said, and replace them with new growth. Spiritual righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, so that there might be a greater flow, upflow, outflow of your Holy Spirit springing up within me, not encumbered by sin and carnality. So Lord, as I spend these times of confession, and we all, Father, motivate us all to have time of confession regularly and consistently in our life alone with you. Father, I just pray for an anointing of your Spirit and a filling of your Spirit now to be used of you. Holy Spirit, guide us. You want us to be aware of these days, and you want us to choose to walk more closely with you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, Matthew 24, verse 5. He says this, "Many shall come and deceive many." And in verse 11, "Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." Jesus says, "I am the truth." So I want you to understand, when we're studying the true Christ and when we're studying the false Christ, there is a choice. And the choice is the truth or deception. And as we develop that discernment, we want to be able to really discern and be sensitive to what is truth and what is deception. So again, go with me to 1 John chapter 4. And in these days, we're going to live in a spirit of deception. And when Coach Bird was sworn in a few weeks ago or a couple of months ago, as he was preparing for questions, if there was anyone there concerning his swearing in. And he was asked by a reporter from Channel 4 in Nashville, what he had to say to the folks that are anti-vax. And he said what I thought was a very profound statement. He said, I've not met anybody that I would consider anti-vaccination. He said, but we've got a lot of people out there that just don't know who to believe. And I said, you know, that was a great answer, Coach. I said, I think you gave a great answer. Because there we find a lot of Americans today that are sincere Americans and they're good Americans. And they stand on one side or the other side or whatever side. But the key to the whole thing is you really don't know who to believe today. When it comes to politics, when it comes to preachers, when it comes to all kind of things, we don't know who to believe, but we have to be prayed up and try to discern things. But I want to praise God when I look at all the situations that are horizontal. I do know who I can believe, and that's the Word of God, and that's Jesus. And so that's why I'm called to promote Jesus, you know. I can get up here and tell you what Jesus says, and I know 3 weeks from now I'm not going to have to back off of that. You know, either way, I'm not going to have to back off of that. You know, so my opinion in a lot of horizontal things, I don't have the greatest opinion because I don't know. But my opinion on what the Word of God says, I can stand on. So we're going to enter an age, and if you go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we want to discern the things we hear, not only politically, but religiously. I mean, you got people teaching all kinds of things in pulpits and on television and on the radio. And you've got to try those things and discern those things. Now, look at what he says in verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that he will come into the world at some point. But John says back in 90 AD or in the first century that this spirit was already in the world. And then if you come down to verse 6, it says, We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So what I want you to understand is this, that we are called on to discern and trust. My friend, trust the Holy Spirit in your own heart. You know, get to the place where you're consistent in your spiritual discipline of getting alone with Jesus, getting in the Word of God, having your prayer, having your confession, where you can trust the Holy Spirit in your heart. That spirit of error, that word error in the Greek is plane, P-L-A-N-E. And it means in the root deceit and fraud, but it means this. It means to be led to or seduced to error. So I want you to understand, some things I'm going to show you today are blatant. But then there are some things you're going to face in life that are wrapped up in light. You know, darkness wrapped in light. You know, the devil himself can appear as an angel of light. So you've got to come to a place where you can discern not only the blatant things, but the devil wants to subtly trick you through life, subtly lead you out of God's will and those things. You may get the greatest job offer you've ever received next week, but it might not be a God. You know, you got to know, you got to discern. When I left the traditional ministry, I've lost track of time, 20-something years ago, I guess. You know, folks didn't understand what I was doing. And folks want to know, well, are you against this now? Are you? I said, I'm not against anything. I've just got to go the direction God's leading me. And then I couldn't even give him a clear answer where he was leading. I didn't know what he was leading me to. All I knew was, I knew without a doubt when I left my church in North Carolina in 1994, I knew without a doubt that for a time, I was going to do revival, supply work, and intentional interim work. You say, well, what's an intentional interim? It's an interim that comes in to just fill the void between pastors that doesn't want the church full time. He's just filling in. I thought that was a needed ministry. And usually you have to get a retired person to do that or someone that lives in the area. But here I was young and I felt like I could travel, I could do it, I could fill a void, help a church continue to keep going until they got their next pastor. And so I knew without a doubt that's what God was calling me to do. I did not know I was only going to do one of those. I did not know I was only going to do one in Wayne County, Tennessee. And I did not know I would end up here, you know, with a whole new ministry. But God knew. And that's what you've got to understand. When the Holy Spirit's leading you, He doesn't lead you five steps. He leads you one. So take the one. When you get the peace of God, you take the one. And then He opens the next door. And then He shows you. And then you look back when you're at step five. You can see clearly what He did in steps one through four. So you've got to be able to discern the Spirit, what Spirit's of God, what Spirit's not of God, because if not, you can become seduced into walking the wrong path. And so, as I've said in the previous weeks, as we get closer and closer to the rapture of the church, the spirit of deception will become ramped up and it'll be greater and greater and greater. Coach Sis made a great point to me last Sunday as we were leaving. He said, you know, we're a long way away from the days of Walter Cronkite. Now, a lot of you people don't know Walter Cronkite. But when I grew up in the 60s, I was a child, but even the adults, we pretty much believed everything Walter Cronkite told us on CBS News. You know, along with Ed Sullivan on Sunday night. But we believed everything. It was a really, really big show. A really big show. You need to Google it. I sound just like him. YouTube Sullivan. But anyway, we believed pretty much everything he told us. And I believe he was a man of character. I believe he was trustworthy. And I believe it was that way in everything. But now today, you know, you watch the news. And back then, praise God, we only had three news channels. And they were only on for 30 minutes. And, you know, that was a great blessing, I think. You know, now it's 24/7 and there's 200 of them out there. And when you watch it, you don't know who to believe. It's been such a cultural shift from the 60s until now. And you know, we've got to navigate it by the Spirit of God. Go again with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the spirit of Antichrist in verse 4 is going to be a spirit that opposes. Look at verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. No, number one, it is a spirit that, number one, opposes God. So what does it mean to oppose God? Well, it's pretty simple. God wants us to have prayer in the schools. The spirit that opposes God wants us not to have prayer in the schools. God wants us to be able to acknowledge God in a city council meeting, on the public square, etc. A spirit that opposes God doesn't want God to be in the city council, doesn't want any reference to God on the public square. Notice in the last two decades how the spirit that opposes God has ramped up, taken hold, and permeated our culture. You know, my teachers prayed in the public school. We started our day with prayer and devotion in Charleston, South Carolina, in the public school. And you know, now today, you know, that doesn't happen. Or they say it can't happen. I don't believe it can't happen. I believe it can happen. I believe the Constitution of the United States of America will protect anyone that wants to have prayer in a public school. So it opposes that. And then notice what it says in verse 4. The spirit of Antichrist exalts himself above God. Exalts himself above God. So What does that mean, Brother Leo, to exalt yourself above God? Well, that's a worship. You're either going to worship one or two people. It's a choice. We either worship God or we worship self. Now, why is that the spirit of Antichrist? Because the devil is behind the spirit of Antichrist. And why was he expelled from heaven? He wanted to lift himself up above God and be worshipped as God in heaven. And so this great revolt took place. The fallen angels who supported Satan, Lucifer, were cast out. So now he wants to achieve that here on earth. He wants to come to a place where he is worshipped on earth as God. Now, what did Satan tempt Jesus with? He said, you don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to go through suffering. You don't have to go through anything. Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. So the spirit of Antichrist is a self-worshipping spirit. You say, Brother Leo, is that prevalent in the culture today? Well, go with me to Romans chapter 1. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says this. And I'll come back to what it says here in a moment. It says, Romans 1:25a, it says that this culture will change the truth of God into a lie. Now we're going to go there in a moment. Change the truth of God into a lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. It is a worship of self. It's pride. It's me first. It's, you know, you hear these phrases all the time. This is my truth. You know, Brother Leo, this is my truth. There's only one truth. It's not your truth. It's not my truth. It's God's truth. He is the author and the originator of truth. If God says, in the beginning, I created male, female, that's truth. If God says, for this reason, a man leaves his mother and clings unto his wife, that's truth. That's biblical truth. There aren't five different truths. There's only one truth. I've been created as a male. You've been created as a female. Well, that's not my truth. Well, your truth is an error. Your truth is false. Because there is only one truth. Psalm 139 says, I knew you in the womb. I saw your arms and your legs before they were created. I had a plan for your life. In the womb. Life begins at conception. That's God's truth. That's the only truth. And so we are living in an age where these two fundamental truths. Now I want you to understand, and I say this all the time. When you reject Jesus, you're rejecting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you promote things such as killing a baby in the womb, when he says, in conception, I began your life, when you promote such things as a man and a woman don't need to be together anymore in our culture, you're sinning against the Creator God. Amen. See, you're sinning against the Creator God. If you turn with me to verse 26, look at what he says. He says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature or unnatural. Verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. What I want you to understand, when we're getting closer and closer to the rapture of the church, what is going to be ramped up are sins against our Creator God and sins against nature. And when that becomes more and more and more prevalent, you are seeing rampant the spirit of Antichrist. You know, what is truth is of God. What is not of truth is of the devil. What is natural is of God. What is unnatural is the spirit of Antichrist against God. And so there's a choice. It's not only a choice for individuals, it's a choice for cultures, it's a choice for nature. Now, go back to verse 25 of Romans 1. Look at part A. I'm an expositor if you're listening on the website. So when I see a verse, I see verse 25A, B, and C here if it's laid out with three phrases. Verse 25A says that this culture will change the truth of... Well, wait a minute. I got ahead of myself. Benford, this one's for you. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a huge verse. Because Benford's been quoting this to me for the last several weeks. This is a sign of the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture says this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. About four or five times in the last few months, Benford will look at me and he'll say, "Brother, we're living in perilous times. We're living in perilous times." Now notice number one. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Alright, so you're seeing the creature is worshipped more than Creator God. There's no humility. There's no shame. We're rewriting. Now go back. Go back to Romans 1. We are rewriting the truth of God. And we're telling people to tell everybody they're alright. My friend, you don't want to tell anybody they're alright when they're not alright. And you say, "Well, I don't want to offend anybody, Brother Lee." Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to offend the Jesus Christ who died for me. Amen. I'm not going to offend the Jesus who's blessed me with every good gift in my life. I'm not going to offend the Jesus who's made provision for my mom and dad to be in heaven so I can preach today, Amen. Not fall apart. You know, I want to pray. I'm not going to offend Him. And I am going to stand. Now, look at what it says. They change the truth of God into a lie. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And this is our culture. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says this. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Now, is that not something? Yes. They call evil good and good evil. Boy, that's something. Woe unto them. That means judgment's coming. You know, the judgment of God is coming. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that promote darkness as if it were light, and they call light darkness, and they put bitter as if it was sweet, and they call sweet bitter. We're living in a culture that has absolutely turned everything upside down. It's not right side up anymore. It is upside down, and this is the culture in which we live. They call evil good and good evil. Now go back to Romans 1. Go back to Romans 1. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, it says this. That people who even know the judgment of God comes upon folks that commit certain sins or such things, and these sins are worthy of death. They're not only doing these same sins, but they have pleasure or they take pride in them that are doing them. That word "take pleasure" in the Greek actually means they pat them on the back and they support them. I want you to understand, there is not any sin. I've heard preachers say that a certain sin brings the judgment of God upon a culture or a nation. That's not true. Because all sin is sin. If I go out here and commit adultery with a woman tomorrow, that's a sin. If I go out here and commit a homosexual act with a man tomorrow, that's a sin. Sin's sin. The judgment of God is not going to come on a culture because they commit a particular sin. That's not true. The judgment of God comes on the attitude of a culture concerning a particular sin. When the attitude of a culture says, I know God's word says that's a sin, but we're discounting that now. We say it's not a sin, and you got to take pride in me, and you got to take pleasure in me, and you've got to support me. Be like me having a parade this week for every man in the county that's committed adultery in the last year. And we come up with our own flag and we march around the square and the mayor marches with us and we tell everybody, even though we're destroying our families, our homes, and our marriages, we're all right. Yeah. That's when God's judgment comes. Yeah. But the sin of adultery, sin of homosexuality, it's all under fornication. Sin, sin. Anybody can be forgiven. Anybody can come to Jesus. Anybody can repent. It's when a culture's attitude toward a sin says, we are right and God is wrong. Yeah. And so that's the spirit of Antichrist that gets ramped up in these days. Now go with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. And in Isaiah 59, verse 12, it says this. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. And for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Now, what does that mean, Brother Leo, in the King James English? How about modern day? Modern day, it means we are a culture that knows we're sinning, but we're not going to repent of it. We're keeping them with us. We don't want God to remove them as far as the east is from the west. And we're going to adopt this kind of living. And then he says in verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and in departing away from our God, we speak oppression and revolt. We conceive and utter from the heart words of falsehood. Deceit, deceit, deceit. Judgment is turned away backward. Justice stands afar off, and truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Now, there are things going on in the world today, and we'll look at it and we'll say, man, that's just common sense. Why in the world would this be done? Why in the world would that be done? It just makes no sense. I want you to understand, it's not a lack of common sense. It's the spirit of Antichrist, and it's evil. Okay, it's evil. You know, people wonder, CJ, it's just common sense to protect your border, right? I mean, you ought to protect your southern border. We shouldn't have hundreds of thousands of people coming through the southern border unless you've got to destroy the United States. Well, why would anybody want to destroy the United States for a little? Because the United States are a superpower, and to have a one world global government, you can't have any superpowers. You know, when you talk about the horns in the book of Daniel, you're going to have three or four horns come up. You know, it's going to have to be regions. We're going to have Canada, United States, Mexico. They're going to be a region. You're going to have South America, Central America. They're going to be a region. European countries will be a region. You're going to have Israel will stand alone. The African countries will come to be, and there'll be quadrants or regions. And then they're all going to kind of come in conflict. And then one of them's going to take over, and then the whole world's going to be a one-world government with a one-world leader. You can't have borders if Satan's going to have his one-world government, so the borders have to be destroyed. It's not a lack of common sense. It's the spirit of Antichrist. You know, when I grew up, when I went into ministry, I never thought I'd be looking at this stuff on TV. I never thought America would be disassembled. I never thought we'd have congresswomen up there condemning America and somebody elected them to serve this country. I never thought we'd have all this unpatriotic stuff. You can't be patriotic and have a one world government. You know, you can't be an American anymore. You got to be a global citizen. You know, we got to be globalists. You know, we've got to protect the planet. We got to come together as one. Well, Brother Leo, that sounds good. It might sound good, but you better read about the Tower of Babel. It is not God's will. Well, what happened to the Tower of Babel, Brother Leo? Well, everybody came together, and you know what they wanted to do? Build a tower to heaven again where they wouldn't need God. Well, that's what they're doing now. But what did God do? He confused the language. And he made all these different languages so people would have what? All these different nations. So for the devil to get control again like he had at the Tower of Babel, he's got to break down all these nations and bring them together. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say peace, peace, peace. But you know what he means? War, war, war. And that's out of the prophet. So don't think none of this stuff makes sense. See, you know, this stuff makes no sense, Brother Leo. It does to the devil. And that's where he's going. So you got to recognize the spirit of Antichrist. Now look at what it says in verse 15. Truth, false. We don't want truth anymore. And he that departs from evil. Who would be a person that departs from evil? Well, here we go again. It's a choice. You've either got evil or righteousness. So if you depart from evil, it means you take a stand for what is right. So if you take a stand for what is right, you're going to make yourself a prey. Now, what's a prey? A prey is something that gets hunted by a predator and attacked. So that verse is saying if you stand for what's right, you're going to come under attack. You know, they're going to take us off the internet. Tim, they're going to take us off whatever we're on. So I'm glad you've got alternate sources for us. You know. Well, Brother Leo, why would they take you off? Because this is hate speech, man. Oh, I thought it was the Word of God. No, no, not anymore. It's not the Word of God. It's hate speech. Used to be good, but now it's hate speech. My God is love. I'm loving everybody. I don't want to condemn anybody. I don't have the right to condemn anybody. I'm a sinner just like anybody else. But when you say God, when a country takes an attitude towards sin that's going to bring on the judgment of God, you know, you've offended us and that's hate speech. So we're going to shut you down or arrest you or threaten your family. And so that's the culture in which we live. We make ourselves a prey. So it all comes down to us. So what are we going to do, Brother Leo? Go to Joshua 24. Let me tell you what we're going to do. Probably running out of time. Joshua 24. This is what we're going to do. Same thing Joshua brought up at the end of his life. And in Joshua 24, verse 14, Joshua says this. Now therefore, revere and respect the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, revere and respect and worship the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and truth. Now, isn't that wonderful? I want to worship God. I want to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And I'm going to put away all those idol and materialism and self-worship and me first of Egypt or carnality. Verse 15, and if it seem evil, that word actually means, let me see, where do I have that written down? Displeasing or inconvenient is that Hebrew word. If it seems displeasing to you or inconvenient to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it all comes down to that. Families all over America making the decision that they're going to stand for God and stand for the things of God. Now, don't leave that Hebrew word. If it's inconvenient for you to take a stand for God, well, you say, Brother Leo, when would it be inconvenient for me to take a stand for God? Well, if you have prayer with these kids, we're going to fire you. Brother Leo, I'd pray with the kids, but I might lose my job. Well, I'll tell you something. God will give you another one. And a better one. Well, if I take a stand for Jesus, I'm going to lose my job. God will give you another one. He'll take care of you. I'm not saying go out there and look for a fight. But I'm saying if the Holy Spirit leads you in a situation to take a stand for God, you need to take a stand for God. Just stand for Him and trust Him. We've got a school board here that is scared to death. They're scared to death. We've got folks representing it. Oh, we just don't want a lawsuit. We just don't want a lawsuit. Really? Yeah. How long? When I came here, Jerry, I used to lead the prayer at football and basketball games. 5 years ago, we got some little Mickey Mouse threat. The school board meets with their lawyer, and now a student's got to stand up and do it. They're going to Mickey Mouse threaten us till Jesus comes back. I want you to understand something. We need to stand for God. The majority of people in Wayne County believe in Jesus. The great majority of people in Wayne County are good Christians. And if we want our kids in a school system where there's prayer and there's the Word of God, these people are elected by us. They work for us, or they can hit the road. But we need Christians who are emboldened that are going to take a stand for God and let the chips fall where they may. When I was out there with Nikki Dixon, when I was out there with Rick Rice, C.J. Hammock's sitting in here with me right now. He never played a ball game for me. We didn't pray before the game. And you know what I was praying? God, you got a plan for each one of these young men's lives. And I want them to seek that plan. And here he is like a son to me. And he's got a good Christian wife and a good family. And we're going to take a stand for God. I can't go. I'm not a baseball coach. I'm a Christian baseball coach. I can't separate that. But we have in our culture. And so we've got to come down to a place where we choose. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Let me show you the choice and I'm going to close out today. But we have got to become emboldened. I want politicians that are going to pray before they speak. I want to stay. I pray at the state legislature. You mean I can go to a session of the state legislature in Nashville and pray before a session, and it happens every session in Nashville. Before they meet, a state legislator, it's his day to choose a preacher to come up and say a prayer, and I've done it in Nashville. If I can do that in Nashville, it ought to be able to be done anywhere, in any public building, in any public setting in the state of Tennessee. And again, it's a state's rights issue. We don't need the federal government telling us a thing. It is a state's rights issue when it comes to prayer, when it comes to protecting babies in the womb. We've got to take a stand. Look what it says in Psalm 1. This is the choice, all right? And I'm closing. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. See, that's the progression of sin. You're walking, and then you stop, and you stand, and then you stand for a while, you sit down and wallow in the hog pen. So what do you need to do, brother? You need to keep walking. Don't stop and stand. Just walk away. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I prayed this prayer for Daniel and Kylie every morning. I prayed it for Daniel going all the way back to his athletic days, but I pray it every morning for Daniel and Kylie now. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You pray that blessing over your children. And you can memorize it. It won't take long. And then you jump real quickly to verse 6a. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord has a plan for the righteous. And it's a plan of prosperity that you will prosper. So, the delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law he meditates. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, even in these dry times. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf will not wither. Whatever you do will prosper, because the Lord knows the way he has for you. That's where I want to live. Now let me show you the flip side. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6b. The way of the ungodly shall perish. It ends in destruction. So that's our choice. I want to walk the way of the righteous, where I'm going to be blessed. You say, Brother Leo, how can we be blessed in times like these? Hey, it's like Betty's song. It's like some of the songs we sang congregationally today. I don't care how rough it gets. God's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. I know the plans I have for you. He still has a plan for us to bring us blessing, bring us joy, bring us victory. We don't get discouraged. We don't get defeated. We don't give up. We've been chosen to live in this generation. So he has not chosen us to live here where he will not equip us to be victorious. I'm preaching on things today that I never thought would exist when I started preaching in the 1980s. We are facing battles today that I never thought we'd exist. You know, I thought we were always going to be the Walter Cronkite country. Well, we're not. And there's a lot of deception. And there's a lot of evil. And there's a lot of the spirit of Antichrist. But that has not diminished our God. And that has not shortened his hand. Now, I can't change the state of Tennessee, not right now at this moment. God may give me an opportunity in years to come. I don't know. I cannot change America. But I can speak for myself right now, and as for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. And you can say the same thing. But what I want you to understand, we have to resolve to stand for God and look for those opportunities where a door opens, where we can take a stand for Jesus. Because he's telling us, there are 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal. Now, we watch the media and we listen to the media and we think we're the only ones left. That is a lie. There are millions and millions of dedicated Christians in America and throughout the world. And so we stand with them. And the devil hates me teaching this stuff. The devil hates this stuff going out over this website. But the bottom line is, that is the truth. The Lord's always going to have his remnant. And I'm going to tell you something. One person with God can run through a troop. You know, that's what David said. He can leap over a wall. But there's not just one person. I want to praise God today for the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to praise God today for our brothers and sisters in Christ within this little nucleus and all throughout the world. We are not alone. I get so emboldened when I get to listen to the David Jeremiahs and the Adrian Rogers and all these great preachers that are out there today. And you know, Adrian's with the Lord, but it's just still on and we can glean from all. The Word of God is still going out, and our God is still in control. So do not get discouraged. Martha Jo, I'm going to ask you to play for just a few seconds. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes today. And I want you to pray this prayer. Because as I look at this room and the families in this room, and I know the people that are listening, hey man, we've been blessed. And you need to ask the Lord, say, Lord, is there an area in my life where you're leading me to take a stand for you? And maybe I'm not seeing it right now, or I've been so busy, but Lord, is there an area in my life where you're leading me to take a stand for you? Is there an area in my life where you want me to start maybe a little Bible study in my home to reach kids? Is there an area in your life where you want me to minister in a certain way to somebody down the road? Lord, is there an area in my life that I might be missing right now where you want me to serve you in sincerity and truth? Father, open my eyes and make me sensitive so that I can do my part, because I was born for this generation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you seek the Lord for an area in your life where God may be leading you today?